So I'm from Indiana. I grew up in Indiana. I went to college in Indiana and basically never went anywhere else from my entire childhood. The first time I traveled outside the country was in September of 1985. I was 22 years old. May of that year, I graduated from college. June of that year, I flew in an airplane for the very first time. And then in September, I married my college sweetheart, and we decided to go to Mexico for our honeymoon. Now, 5 days after this really fancy wedding with 200 of our nearest and dearest family and friends, we found ourselves in a hotel room in Mexico City, naked, in bed, asleep, at 7:19 a.m. in the morning, when an 8.1 magnitude earthquake rocked the city. Now, when you've just had a wedding and you've told like 200 people that you're going to Mexico, and then suddenly there's an 8.1 magnitude earthquake, people pay attention, people notice, and pretty quickly they start to put two and two together and get 44. My parents found out about the earthquake because one of our neighbors who had been at the wedding was watching CNN, and she literally ran out of her house across the street, burst into my parents' house as they were having lunch. She was sobbing so hard at that moment that for 2 minutes, they couldn't even get anything out of her other than, "I'm so sorry." I found out about the earthquake because I thought my husband was shaking the bed. It wasn't until I sat up and I realized that he was still asleep, and that not only was the bed shaking, but so was the dresser, and so was the nightstand and the lamp, that I realized that this was an earthquake. And I had a moment when I thought, oh, this is really cool. And then the bed started to slide. And my husband woke up, and we both jumped out of the bed. And we grabbed a blanket, and we ran across the room, and we stood in the doorway between the bedroom and the bathroom because we thought maybe that reinforced doorway would protect us if the roof fell in, which wasn't necessarily such a bad decision, but we went with it. We stood there, staring out the window as skyscrapers waved back and forth like palm trees in a breeze. We stood there staring out the window for 4 minutes. Now, 4 minutes isn't very long when you're telling a story, or maybe, hopefully, when you're listening to one, but 4 minutes in an 8.1 magnitude earthquake is forever. During those 4 minutes, gas lines erupted all over the city, and there were explosions and fires broke out. During those 4 minutes, the entire telecommunication and electrical systems in the city were completely disrupted. During those 4 minutes, several thousand buildings were flattened, including hospitals that were full of people and schools which blessedly were not. And in those 4 minutes, more than 5,000 people died. Now, we were there, huddled in our blanket, staring out the window, watching those skyscrapers, which all of a sudden stopped swaying and started vibrating. And then all of a sudden, one by one, they started to collapse. And then there was so much dust that we couldn't see anything at all. Now, it's been 30 years since that earthquake, and I keep trying to remember what it sounded like. People ask me, what does an earthquake sound like? And all I come up with is silence. Because I don't remember what the earthquake sounded like. I don't remember the sound of my own voice screaming, and I'm pretty certain that I was, because the next day my throat was raw. I don't remember the sound of my husband's voice, but he had his lips pressed against my ear the entire time, so I'm sure he was saying something. I don't remember the sound of the furniture, which was slamming against the wall at this point and then sliding across the room to slam against the other wall. All I come up with is silence, and all I can figure is that earthquake was so loud, it blotted out everything else. Finally, after 4 minutes, it stopped. And we threw on our clothes, and we made our way out into the hallway, which was pitch black because we had no electricity, and we made our way down the stairs into this dim lobby and then burst out of the doors to the street into this blinding sunlight and utter destruction. Utter destruction. 4 minutes ago, there had been four hotels on the corner where we were. Now there were two. The other two, the walls had tilted out, and the ceiling and the floors had pancaked. And they were gone, nothing but rubble. Those hotels were filled with people in their beds asleep at that moment. None of them survived. Suddenly, there was all kinds of sound. There were sirens and explosions, people screaming, people calling to one another in Spanish. We could see people running to the bases of the hotels, digging with their hands through the rubble. My husband and I ran over to try to do the same to help until police came running up and stopped us because we were doing more harm than good. We decided we needed to try to find a phone to get some information, to get word to somebody that we were okay. We had no idea just yet how big this earthquake was. We started to walk. We found payphones, remember those? We found payphones, but none of them were working. We tried to find out where our embassy was and get there, but the streets were absolutely impassable. They were filled with rubble. Cars couldn't get through for many hours. Ambulances and fire trucks couldn't get through. So we walked. We started to ask people on the street what they knew. We found a man who told us, no planes getting in and out of the city, no trains getting out in and out of the city, no buses. The metro has collapsed. You're best on foot. We started to see soldiers. We saw this teenager with all this acne and a big Uzi that he looked way too nervous to be carrying, who said to us, the president has ordered the army out to protect against looters. If I were you, I'd get back to your hotel. We took him seriously. We started back to our hotel. We didn't see any looters, but there was a man who rushed up to my husband and me and had this long conversation with my husband in Spanish, which I kept hearing wife and blonde, and my husband kept nodding, you know, shaking his head no, and when he finally walked away, I said, what was that? And he said, he was trying to pay me to touch your hair. He's never seen a blonde woman before. We finally made it back to our hotel, and there were five of us out of an entire hotel of five floors that had been filled. Five people who decided that they were either brave enough or stupid enough to go back into that building to spend the night. None of the hotel staff was there. They had all left to be with their families. When the five of us went in there, they padlocked us in to protect us. Imagine walking back into an enormous hotel that's pitch black, no running water, cracks in the walls, and everybody says that there's probably going to be a second earthquake, and you're padlocked in. We weren't sure if we were going to be alive come morning. So to pass the time, we looked out the window. After a while, the army brought in big spotlights and equipment and other teams to start digging through the rubble to look for survivors. We watched them bring body after body out all night. No survivors. Dawn finally came. They unlocked the doors. We got out of the hotel. We made our way to the bus station, and glory of glories, the bus station was operating again. We hopped on a bus that took us 8 hours south of the city. And we were so relieved when we came to this southern town that showed no sign of being affected by the earthquake, except for the fact that none of their phones were working either. We spent the next several days going from town to town in Mexico in a sort of surreal adventure that was part honeymoon and part sort of PTSD. It was a week before they got the phones operating again in Mexico, and this was before cell phones. It was 7 days before my mother heard my voice telling her that I was still alive. 7 days. I didn't appreciate what she went through during those 7 days until I went back home after a month. We stayed an additional 3 weeks after this happened. After a month in Mexico, when we finally flew home, we pulled into the street where my parents lived, and I noticed a tree that had a yellow ribbon around it. And then I noticed another tree that had a yellow ribbon around it. And then I realized that every tree on the street had a yellow ribbon around it. My parents had gone out that morning and wrapped them around every tree on the street. I think about that image today every single time I get on an airplane to travel. I think about those 7 days that my mother endured any time my three adult daughters tell me that they're about to take a trip. Every single time I say the same things to them when I think back on my first time out of the country, I tell them, keep in touch. Thank you.